Welcome to the Choose Chat podcast, where we share real conversations about real life. We are women on fire and passionate about Jesus and love sharing our stories of faith. We know God believes in you, and we believe in you. And our prayer is that our conversations will encourage you to see how God is at work in your everyday life. So let's chat.
Welcome to the Choose Chat podcast, where we have real conversations about real life situations and the choices we make. My name is Laura, and with me is Jill.
And hey, guys.
Yes, and we are so excited to have a guest back with us. She's been with us before, and that's Rochelle Rawson. Welcome, Rochelle.
Hi, friends.
Yes.
Hey, we are so excited to have you back, Rochelle. Your story is so powerful.
Yes, and you have more stories. So in the first episode, we talked kind of about your prison ministry, if you will, and all that happened through that and your praise stories through that. And you've had additional life events happening. And so we want to just talk with you a little bit about that today.
So Rochelle, I'm excited to have you back because your story really lives out our theme for this year's events, which is choose to keep going. After your prison experience and your ministry that you did there, God has given you just some challenges that we want you to share with our listeners.
All right, let's go Team Jesus.
There you go.
So I got out of prison. I married the man of my dreams, a good, godly man. I have all of my kids. I end up having more kids. And while we were pregnant, I was pregnant with my seventh baby. We found out that I had breast cancer.
Mm. Wow.
I was probably 8 weeks pregnant when I got diagnosed. And when I was 18 weeks pregnant, I had to get far enough along. I ended up getting my right breast removed during pregnancy. Wow. God says 365 times, do not fear, one for every day of the year.
Yes, I'm sure there was a lot of fear going on.
Be strong and courageous, mighty warrior. And so this little baby, and I also had to be induced early to start chemo. We named her Brave Lynn because she's our little brave girl. She's our little fighter. We had tried a year to get pregnant before we even had her, had miscarried a couple times. And so she's just our little brave girl. After I had her, we ended up going to the Mayo Clinic and I did chemo. I had 6 hardcore chemos. I think I ended up having a year of infusions after that. I had 6 weeks of radiation and I decided that I was going to be sick regardless. And I didn't want the kids to look back and think, man, mom was just really sick on the couch the whole time.
Right.
I wanted them to think, we had some really great memories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I decided to have one adventure a day. And that is rather it was going and dancing in the rain or taking shaving cream and food coloring and painting on our tables and just making messes everywhere, painting on our windows. Or I've learned to be a crafty mom during this time.
Right.
I was not crafty before.
Whether you wanted to be crafty or not. Huh?
Yeah.
And just, it was stage 3, right?
No, it was stage 2B.
Or 2B.
Yep,
okay.
2B. So it was like almost there, but not quite.
Okay.
And so we, decided to have these adventures. And it was HER2 positive. So it's aggressive kind. It's, it was grade 3. So it was fast growing with a high return rate possibility.
Right.
So we ended up going to Mayo. And I really wanted to make this time a mission trip. Every single time. I recognized that I had a platform and I was going to use it and we were going to glorify God. And, a lot of times when people get into these situations, we ask the wrong questions.
Mm-hmm.
We dwell on the why me or why is this happening? And I think that we've been asking the wrong questions.
Mm.
It doesn't mean that it's not hard, right?
Right.
Life is hard and God is good.
Right.
Right.
But when we have God after you get through it, it doesn't seem that hard in my opinion. But there are hard times. I mean, it was scary. You think cancer, you think death, right?
Right.
You think you're going to get through it or it's going to come back and it's going to get you eventually. Mm-hmm. I have kids. I was pregnant.
Right.
I mean, I had a baby. I had surgery. I had another surgery. It started chemo. I mean, it was definitely hard having a new baby up all night. But we decided that we were going to find the joy, choose joy, and go and love on people and ask, you know, who is this for and what is God trying to do in me?
Mm-hmm. You know, Rochelle, I've spoken a lot about that why me thing, because I used to spend a lot of time in the pity party thing that, you know, the pity parties really aren't very fun.
No.
Right? But so often we can get to that place. And God really took me kind of on the same journey to go from why me to why not me to what are you trying to teach me, God? Mm-hmm. What are you trying to teach me in the midst of this? Mm-hmm. And to enter that with that mindset is really a key to how you choose to keep going. Like when you enter something that's going to be hard, am I going to enter it with the feeling sorry for myself? And yes, we have to feel it. We're going to be scared. We're going to have fear. We're going to have all those things. But if you can enter it like you did, wow. I mean, your story is amazing. Keep going, because you've been telling us just amazing things.
So I just really went to have my armor on. Yes, it was hard in those moments. I mean, I was tired. It was physically hard. Mm-hmm. It was emotionally hard having a new baby. All your hormones that you have thinking, are my kids going to get to grow up with me being there? But I think in all of this, I have to know the truths and you have to trust God. Mm-hmm. Like God is who he says he is. He'll do what he says he can do, even if he says no. Right. Because no matter what, I'm getting delivered.
Right.
My mother getting delivered from the cancer through the
cancer
or into his arms.
Some way.
Yes.
Yes.
Some way or another. And even though it's so hard because I love Jesus so, so, so much. And you think without having a mom there, who's going to tell my kids about, you think of all the worst case scenarios.
Right.
But you still have to trust God and know that God's ways are higher than our ways, that his plan is not always our plan. Mm-hmm. And so I just, with every breath that I have, with his breath in my lungs, I didn't want to waste one more piece of it ever, ever. And I feel like I had that mindset when I went into prison. That was like the switch to that. Because here's the deal. We're all dying. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow's not promised for anyone.
Right.
Ever. And so we just really made this a mission trip. And I mean, we're still even in the midst of some things. But looking through it, there's been 99 million blessings. One, I've been able to stay home with this baby for almost 2 years with my babies. Yes. You know, what a gift. Mm-hmm. That's been a gift that wouldn't have happened. Two, it created a pause for my husband and I every 3 weeks and the kids to go on an adventure to Rochester. Mm. And three, if you're making eye contact with me, it's over. I'm praying for you.
Well, tell us about that. Yes. What you did at Rochester with the nurses.
So any of the doctor's places, anywhere, whether we go to the gas station or, you know, I find somebody and I say, how can I pray for you? Mm. Not can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? And it just opens up so many doors. I'll tell you about radiation. So I go into radiation, you know, every day for 6 weeks. We lived there in an Airbnb, which was another gift and so many stories. The staff knew what I was up to, which is so funny because, of course, I'd love on them and I was up to no good, right? I would walk
no,
in.
No, you're up to all good.
Yeah, yes. And I would choose my people and I would look and I would see who I could sit next to. And I remember one time I was sitting there and everybody was on their phones. They were looking down and I was like, God, just let somebody look up at me. And, you know, then they would look up and then I would pray for them. I would pray over them. I would pray with them. And through that, I was able to develop some pretty good friendships. Some people had stayed at our Airbnb and they were also there. And since then, the dad has passed, but I've still been able to maintain a relationship with his family. There is a guy, my friend Larry, he was a ballroom dancer and I would sit with him and talk to him. And he taught me ballroom dancing right there in radiation.
So
I have
fun.
A video. Yeah, it's so precious.
Okay.
Or even the radiation text, here's the deal. You don't know what people are going through. And, you know, right before radiation, I'd say, how can I pray for you? And one of the ladies stayed back and she said that she was suicidal. She felt no hope. And her heart was heavy. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to, you know, to pray and to walk through that. And every day I would, you know, be excited to love on her. And she said that like brought her hope. I mean, so you just don't know.
So as I hear you talking, Rochelle, comes to my mind is when you give, you get.
Amen.
And so I think about at times when we go through that, when we go in with the mindset of it's not about me, but what God can do through me, it just changes our whole thinking of what we're able to give to others. And in return, we get so much joy.
So much. So God created, this is science. God created us to serve. Mm-hmm. So when we serve, we get oxytocin, right?
Right.
And the love hormone, you know, the chemical that makes you high and excited. Like that's a reward for us.
Right.
And so when we are not me focused, mm-hmm. and we are outward focused, it changes our heart.
Right.
I don't know, it was maybe four blocks. We stayed from the Mayo Clinic, and I would walk there every day. I would listen to Bob Goff, one of his books, and I would, you know, or praise music, and I would literally just skip there so excited to go into my treatments and skip back. I mean, we would work out. We made friends at this gym. My big kids came down. We went on to escape rooms and roller coaster rides and carousels, and we played in leaves, and we smushed them up and threw them in the air. I mean, just so, that's what I...
Yes.
I remember.
And that's what they're going to remember instead of the negative of what you had to go through.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. By the time I'm done with all of this, I've counted 10 surgeries.
Wow.
It'll be 10 surgeries on top, you know. And so, yes, there's moments where I get tired.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, I can remember thinking one time doing dishes was too much. Mm. Then God comes in and he blessed me. Somebody has been paying to get our house cleaned every 2 weeks this whole time.
Yes.
Still.
He sends the blessings.
He sends the blessings, right? I mean, and he sends the tribe. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had all my sisters. I mean, you brought me a meal. I mean, the prayers were just amazing. It also, I think, gave the community opportunities to, like, come and love us.
Right.
And that was a place for me, too, is I had to, like, surrender and accept that love.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we've talked about that in some of our other podcasts, too, is when you don't allow people to do that, you're preventing them from loving as God wants them to love too.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah.
One of our Rocky themes is find your Adrian, which is, you know, get that team of support behind you. And that's such a beautiful example of that is how we can choose to keep going in a more positive way. And it's more attainable when we have those people who are walking alongside us, just showing us love and helping us get over those rocky, hard places when you feel like giving up. Because I'm sure, I mean, it didn't even end there. Then you got septic. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, there's that too. Yep, forgot about that already. We ended up going to New Orleans for some treatments, which another quick God story from there real fast is I reached out to a church family there and I said, you know, we don't want the gift of financial help, but of community. Well, these people from church who had gone through breast cancer before ended up loving on us. The second time, we've been back three times now. The second time we went back, they gave us a vehicle to drive the whole time we were there, and they have an apartment above their house, which they let us stay. Loved on our kids. I mean, God just keeps providing these little angels along the way. But when I was septic, I became very, very sick. I was in the hospital for like 6 or 7 days, and I ended up staying at Mercy. They tried to send me off to Mayo. They tried to send me to Omaha. They tried to send me to Sioux Falls, and everywhere kept blocking me, saying they were full, they had a cap, they weren't taking out-of-towners. And, you know, when you're going through things, sometimes you don't always know the why in the midst of it.
Right.
So you just keep wanting to give God glory, clinging to him, pouring out, letting him do his thing, surrendering in the midst of it, and just watching. And I was at Mercy, and of course, you know, when I see people, I say, how can I pray for you? And I just pray for them as if they already know Jesus. Like, why wouldn't you want to know Jesus?
Right.
And why wouldn't you love him?
Jesus, baby.
Right? And even knowing that several don't. Right. And maybe they even have different religions or whatever, but I just want to love on them with my Jesus. Mm-hmm. And there was a lady that I prayed for. It was a younger nurse, and she came back in the next day, and she seemed a little standoffish, and she had a lot of questions, and she was afraid to ask me the questions because, you know, boundaries, and she just didn't, you know. I was like, listen, I work for you, sit down. And so she had a seat, and she had all these questions. She had a friend that had committed suicide and died. She had tried to commit suicide and didn't die. So, you know, asking just all of these why questions. And I basically told her, you're asking the wrong why questions. And just got to really break down the gospel and tell her who God was, you know, and is, and how to figure out who she is in him. And then all of a sudden, it just, like, really hit me. I felt like God spoke to me and said, she is why you're here. It's her. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I just started crying, and I just said, listen, I said, God wants me to tell you. I said, he blocked me going from 3 different hospitals. He allowed me to be septic. I'm missing my kids' homecoming, all because he loves you so much. And he knew that he wanted me here with you so he could tell you that, listen, God sees you. He hears you. And I am here because of you, and he loves you, and he wants all of you. And my kids are okay with me missing homecoming because they know Jesus and they know I have a purpose here.
Right.
And you're it. He allowed me to be septic for you.
Wow. How did she react?
She just instantly started weeping and bawling, and you know, and then it's been beautiful. I've been able to connect with her since then. And basically God is good, and we don't always know the why.
You remind me of a story of when I had a surgery and I ended up having internal bleeding. We didn't know what was going on. So 4 days after surgery, I'm in the ER and they're trying to figure out what's going on. And I really connected with one of the nurses there. And when I left, she was on my heart, and it took a while, but all of a sudden I got a call 6 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks. I can't remember exactly. And this woman called me. And she said she was checking up on me to see how I was doing. Well, then she went on to tell me her story. And she had somehow heard my story of my husband leaving me and my butterfly story and all that. And so she asked me, how did you keep going? How did you ever forgive? How did you get through it? And so we spent 45 minutes on the phone that night. I just walked her through how God loves her and he wants to heal her, all the things that you're talking about. I prayed with her, and it's so funny, Rochelle, because I went to my piano after that and I started writing this song for her. It's actually the title track to one of my CDs, When Grace Finds Wings. And I got done with the song and I'm like, oh, that's my story too. Like, you sometimes you forget, because God just uses our stories in such powerful ways. Like, I was writing this for her, and God had done so much healing in my heart that I could write it with just her in mind and not be so self-driven like we can be. But it was just a beautiful way. And that's exactly why I was at the hospital that night. I was there for her. We've kept in contact. She's doing really well, but it's just one of those crazy things how God uses us when we're willing, Amen. When our hearts are open to see the hurting people around us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I think those choices, like to choose to keep going and those kinds of things, are important. Otherwise, you don't see those opportunities.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, you can get stuck in the negative. You can get stuck in the hard. And again, we're not saying it's not, but when you stay there, and you don't choose to keep going and joy, and
you miss all the gifts.
You miss all the gifts that God's giving. Yes.
That's and you know, God allows us to go through things too, to help people that go through them after us.
Right.
You went through cancer and then you helped me. Mm-hmm. Right. I even remember backtrack when I was even in prison and I had to go with shackles, you know, on a tiny airplane, and I had to go back. People don't always go back and forth on this airplane or have several trips. I had to have another trip. And I had gone through it. It's scary the first time.
Right.
You have all these men, these gross men cackling at you. You know, you're smelly, you're hungry, and you don't know what is happening on the next side. And I can remember even sitting on the plane, and there were these new girls that were on their way, and they were scared. And I was like, it's going to be okay. You know, I was able to try to excite them to go to prison because I was excited.
Right.
You know?
Wow.
The same with cancer or whatever trial, divorce, whatever it is we go through, we use it to love on others, to say, hey, me too.
Let me ask you a question, because I think some people listening would say, I could never go up to someone and say, how can I pray for you? Mm-hmm. So how did you get to that point? Because I know, or maybe it just happened. I know you're so rah-rah for Jesus. You are just on fire. So, but how do people do that?
It's living for an audience of one. You might not believe this, but I used to have a really big fear of speaking in front of people. You would never know.
No.
Never know. But my love for people is greater than my fear of rejection or my fear of what they might think, right? And the whole living for an audience of one thing. Mm-hmm. And you know when you get that nudge that you're supposed to do it and you don't do it? That feeling?
I've had that, Rochelle, and it's horrible. And then you just lay awake at night and you're like, what if? What if I would have gone up to that person that was hurting?
I mean, in prison in the beginning, people did not like me because I was so happy. Mm-hmm. But I didn't care because I lived for Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and there's other ways. You don't have to be as bold as me to go up to people. I mean, people have so many different ministries. Either people make scarves or bring a meal or, you know, hold somebody's hand or just sit with them.
Just be you.
Just
right?
be you. Yeah, like everybody. Maybe
love
people,
the way you're called
to love. Yes, amen. Maybe you people know? Aren't as bold as I am.
Right.
You know, I just felt like I needed to overcome that fear because people... I cared about them more than I cared about, I mean, the embarrassment or whatever that is. It just didn't matter. And then through this process, I also recognized that I have little kids that are watching.
Right.
And, you know, we would walk through Mayo and I would just walk through and I'd be like, happy day, happy day. I don't know how that came, happy day. Instead of hello, I just, happy day. Mm-hmm. And, you know what, I would stop and I would pray with people. And then I noticed my little Ruthie, you know, who's my little sidekick through this whole thing. She was watching. Mm-hmm. And so she started saying happy day to people. And I had these like blessing cards with scripture that I ordered to give out. And then I was like, noticing that she, I have this baby in my care and I wanted to train her to be a missionary, so mm-hmm. to speak, and to be bold. And so she would carry her little purse and she would pull it. We'd rather we go to the gas station. It didn't matter. She'd say, okay, I got my happy cards, Mom. And she would go and she would give them to someone and she would say, do you want a happy card? And then they would say, yes. And then she'd say, Jesus loves you.
So sweet.
And she did the Jesus loves you part on her own, which is so beautiful. You just, in every moment, to be intentional. I just didn't want to waste. I mean, here's the deal. We're all dying. Right. Tomorrow is not promised for anyone. And I decided way back when I went to prison, the bigger tragedy of prison would be wasting more time. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to use that as a gift. Mm. Thus, this as a gift, instead of worrying about what's happening. It doesn't mean that you don't think things through. I mean, we recently just went to Mayo, had some tests. You know, we might have some scary things that might be happening mm-hmm. again in the future that we might have to go through mm-hmm. that we don't have answers. So here I am again.
Right.
Waiting in the unknown, waiting in the middle. Like has it spread to my bones and my brain? You know, could this happen? And you just have to learn to stay on the truths, mm-hmm. stay in today and know God's truths and his promises right. that he is good. Right. He will work all things out for good, even if I don't know it or see it. It's just trusting him in every moment, in all things, and loving like it could be your last day.
Right.
What's unknown to us is known to him. And yeah. that's what we can hold on to, that hope that we can hold on to is in him.
Dirk Bach, one of my friends, who's also been going through cancer. You know, I talked to him the other day, yesterday, and I was telling him how, you know, they might have found something on the scan in my brain. And you know, we just talk about these things. And God gave him the Bible verse about, you know, thinking about whatever is pure, lovely, noble, praiseworthy, admirable. Think of such things to renew our mind. And he's like, go through each list, you know, what is lovely? What is pure? You know, the enemy wants to steal our thoughts. So I had this thing, you know, that I learned from a Beth Moore Bible study years ago. You take that thought, you catch it, you stop it, and you redirect it with truth. Mm. What is truth? Mm-hmm. You know, I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yes.
God will not leave me or forsake me. Mm-hmm. He loves my children more than I do.
And that is living out the Bible verse that tells us to take each thought captive.
Yes.
We can. I spent so many years of my life being a slave to my thoughts, thinking that I had to believe them and that they were truth.
Me too.
It's like, really? Like, no, that is not. Like, I need to just reject that right now. I have to feel it, which I didn't grow up being able to feel a lot of my feelings. So I went from one extreme to the other, like, oh, I have to feel everything and I have to feel it forever.
Yeah,
oh my goodness.
You feel your feelings. You just don't stay there.
Yes.
You feel it. You challenge your thoughts, change your feelings, change your actions, change the world.
Exactly. Let truth in. I don't believe those lies. So many people get stuck believing those lies that the enemy just puts in such insidious ways.
Oh. It doesn't mean that you don't accept reality of things. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you can't hope, but you still just don't believe the lies.
Yeah.
You know, like my lie is, well, if I die, who would tell my children about Jesus? How would they know Jesus and his love so much just like me, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. But Rochelle, when I listen to you, and I think of how you got to where you are today in that excitement and that joy and that acceptance. I think back to the struggles you went through, first of all, started getting you there. And second of all, it was you committing yourself to the Bible, to reading, to learning, to just really seeking him mm-hmm. in order to get to where you are at today. So I think sometimes with our listeners, it's, yeah, but how do I get there? How do
Open
I get
Open your Bible.
There? Yeah.
Right.
Open your Bible. I would spend 12 hours a day in the Word. I know it seems excessive, but I believe so many lies. I needed to figure out who he mm-hmm. was so I could figure out who I am. And that way, you know the truth.
Right.
And once somebody gave me permission, I didn't have to believe the lie anymore. Mm-hmm. I was like, what? I haven't seen my whole life acting a certain way.
Right.
On these lies.
Right.
And you don't have to. You can choose mm-hmm. what you believe
right.
and how you act accordingly.
Right. So really, in order to keep going, even with this new information you receive, it all stems back to you just truly digging in and seeking him mm-hmm. through every single step of the journey that you've been on.
There's something so crazy special about that time too, about this time, and then not knowing. You just really do cling.
Mm-hmm. You do, don't you?
You cling to it. You just, and it's funny because as I'm getting ready to open up this treatment center, this faith-based treatment center, I've been praying. I'm like, God, really make me spiritually well in all areas. Mm-hmm. Let me cling to you. Mm-hmm. Let it not be me. Let it be all you. But you can get caught up in the busy. Mm-hmm. I'm in school. You know, I got work. I got kids. I got, you know, opening a whole nonprofit.
God wants us to rest. Mm-hmm. Rest in him. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to do when you have a lot going on.
But no kids.
We need to kind of wrap this up. And I hate that because you have such an incredible story. Is there anything on your heart that you want to share with our listeners who may be in the midst of the struggle right now, how you can help them choose to keep going?
One, I would say definitely reach out to somebody that you know mm-hmm. is safe or has gone through it. I mean, you need a tribe. You need a community. Get in, connected with a local church, right? Yes. We go to Sunnybrook. There are a lot of great churches out there too. Mm-hmm. Get connected with a local church and get in the word and figure out the truth. Mm-hmm. And when you believe the lie, no, recognize what the lie is and reject it at all costs. Mm-hmm. Reject it at all costs because God does not want you to live in shackles. He wants you to live in freedom and also serve. When we are me-focused, it's like a joy stealer.
Yes.
Because never enough. Mm-hmm. It's never enough. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm not saying don't take care of yourself. Trust me. I'm not saying that. Who is this for? What is God trying to do through me? How can I help others mm-hmm. with this? And basically just like, as Dr. Caroline Leaf, Reader Books, say, stay freaked out in your love zone. Like, we are created to love. And so where I go, I'm never working. I'm always loving. Mm-hmm. Pay attention. Who am I going to love on today? Mm-hmm. You know, pray ahead of time. God, show me that person or people everywhere you go.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
God bless
Rochelle.
You.
Thank you so
God is good.
Much.
Life is hard. God is good. But when you have God, it doesn't even seem that hard after. 99 blessings.
Love it. Thank you so much, Rochelle.
Thank you guys for having me. Yes. Jesus. Yes. Glory be to God.
We pray that you have been edified by listening to Choose Podcast. We hope that our conversation has encouraged and equipped you on ways to make godly choices in your everyday life. Please subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. And thank you to those who walk alongside Choose Ministry financially. If you feel led to partner alongside us, you can check the link in our podcast description below. Thanks again for listening. God bless you. And I choose to believe. Oh, oh, oh.